secrets of that love God to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yeah, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all thing?
And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQ, RSTV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, to the Sons of Liberty radio show, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live in the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah wants you to hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Glad that you guys have joined us this morning. If you would like to check us out online, please do so. sonsoflibertyradio.com. Also, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Excuse me. But if you're listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. There's two videos at the top of the page. The one on the left is an educational video from Bradley because he was speaking on Saturday. And then, so if he'll be live in that area at 3 o'clock today. So if you want to catch that, you can do so up until three. The right side of the page is where we're at. Excuse me, just a second again. All this stuff with my throat. I've been up for an hour and a half and I don't have any problems. I start to speak. That's what happens. Right side of the page is where we're at. Click the play button, blow up whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon. It'll be in the bottom right-hand corner of that video. If you click on that, it'll take you over into Rumble, where we got a few friends over there this morning. Good morning, guys. Good to see you over there. And while you're there, please subscribe to that channel. It's Sons of Liberty Radio Live. Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. We're also on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page over there. DLive.tv at the Sons of Liberty. And a number of Facebook pages. They're highly censored. I see a few guys over there. Good morning, guys. Good to see you. And also our Sons of Liberty Media Facebook page is facebook.com/the Sons of Liberty Media. If you want to follow that, we do stream over there as well. All right. we're going to bring our friend Eric Hughes Jones on, but I don't guess something didn't coordinate or whatever. And I didn't get his email, so I don't know what I'm the specifics of the issue that we were going to address just for a couple of minutes here, just to let the people know. And, wasn't my intention to get that off, that information off for you guys. But, you know, as I begin to look at this stuff that's going on, and I'm going to probably just take a step back. Yesterday was so nice to not be inundated so much with the stuff that's going on, to have a breather from that. And I did discover a couple of things. I'm not going to share those just yet, but one of the interesting things that I see going on is, unlike a time where somebody like John F. Kennedy or Robert F. Kennedy or Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, where they were actually assassinated in front of everybody, one of the things that you saw, now eventually you saw, you know, there was a lot of, you know, people garnered for support and things like that. But there was several things that took place, even though we know there was manipulation of some things. They had an autopsy. I've not heard anything of an autopsy. I've not really seen, I'm sure there are some, okay, but I haven't seen it put out to the public, this, the crime scene, the Charlie Kirk crime scene, a lot of images, what's going on behind the table and things of that nature. So I'm not so quick to jump on the official narrative. I learned my lesson. I did learn my lesson in 9/11. And so that's why I start looking at everything that they're not talking about. Because whatever gets pitched, that's your official narrative. And I don't understand people who haven't picked up on that yet. But with those assassinations, especially JFK, this is a president of the United States. There were images, and yes, I understand we all saw the video of the what took place there. But there were images of the president with his head, half his head missing there. And I don't mean to be gruesome. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm saying is there seemed to be, even though we were given a narrative, there seemed to be at least this appearance of being transparent. And you would think with a high-profile shooting like this, especially when the guy has been calling out a certain nation named Israel, okay? He's been calling that out, and this happens, and now you get this transdelusional aspect of coming in here. Now, is that possible? Yeah, it's very possible. But then you have your FBI coming out. You can't make it up. We finished this in 33 hours and things. But what's amazed me is what John F. Kennedy and those guys didn't have was social media. I don't know if you guys have noticed, and I guess it's understandable to a certain extent, but everything, man, if you go through that, everything is nothing more than Charlie Kirk. It's old debates. And look, that's fine. People can post what they want. I just find it interesting. Boy, you've got that. And then you've got all these little things like this right here. This is somebody had posted up. A resolution has been filed. I don't know if it had been filed yet. I think it's supposed to be filed today. To let Charlie Kirk lie in state in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda, one of America's highest honors. I know that President Trump is supposed to award him posthumously the Medal of Freedom or something like that. I think that he's going to do. They say this is a temporary tribute, giving the nation a chance to pay respects. Charlie's a man of courage, faith, conviction, truly deserving this honor. Well, there's a lot to be said for the lying in state. Can anybody think of a person outside of their politics and stuff, American politics that they put in there? Maybe there's somebody that you guys know. Maybe did they do that with Billy Graham? Maybe they did that with Billy Graham. I don't remember if they did that with him or not. But in ancient Egypt, they used to do it. This was for the pharaohs and the quote-unquote elites of their society. I took a little time to look some of this up the other day. For long periods of time before mummification and burial, the body was displayed in ritual settings to quote-unquote honor the dead and affirm continuity of ritual. I don't know how that honors the dead. I don't understand standing or sitting a body up. You know, Roman Catholicism does sit a body up there. But you know what? It's interesting. And you have this in Greece, you have this in Roman cultures, you have it in pagan cultures. And then Christians started adopting that to some extent. And, you know, when you go back to the scriptures, when a body was hung up, it was a dishonor. When it was left in state, if you will, it seems like it's a dishonor. They would take and bury the body. That's what they did. They bury the body. When you see John the Baptist, he's been beheaded. The disciples came and took his body and they buried it. When Stephen was stoned, they took him and they buried him. When Jesus died, they buried him. So there was a care for the body, but it was buried. It didn't lie in state, so to speak. And so you've got this going on now. Now, okay, South Carolinians, my fellow sandlappers, you got to be on guard for this lady right here, and Nancy Mace. There's so much about her that seems like this. There's a provocateur here. In any case, she is the one to introduce resolution authorizing Charlie Kirk to lie in honor at U.S. Capitol. This is from Channel 6 News, WRCB, RGB. This is on Thursday, U.S. Congresswoman Nancy Mace announced she will introduce a concurrent resolution to authorize Charlie Kirk to lie in honor at the U.S. Capitol. Kirk, a conservative activist, Turning Point USA co-founder, was fatally shot, blah, 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 blah. And this is what she put up. We will be introducing a resolution authorizing Charlie Kirk to lie in honor in the Capitol Rotunda should the Kirk family wish for him to be honored there. Charlie Kirk devoted his life to defending the freedoms, defining our nations. He inspired millions and all this other. And it's a pretty simple little resolution that's there. It's not a law. It's a resolution. And she's going to put that up there. Now, you have that, and then you have, and again, I haven't even seen an autopsy yet. You would think that's pretty important. You would think an autopsy is very important. And considering that there's no doubt there was a shooter on the roof, we've got video before the event began. The guy was up there. Now, why nobody picked that up? That's kind of like the Trump thing. But you've got that up there. You've got the other guy we showed you that looks like he's actually firing at the time the alleged bullet hits Charlie. And now we've got another video of a guy running through the crowd, trying to escape with what looks like a handgun in his hand and a backpack to his side. And I my theory was, if you've got a hit that's coming, it's not some kid who's upset with what Charlie said, and you probably have other teams. It's not just one guy. And it seems like maybe we might have a triangulation going on. I don't know. Or this is all a charade. There are things in my mind, because I know how they've done things in the past. I'm just going to sit on some of that. So I want to talk about the ramifications. They're already talking about lying this guy in state. And you guys remember, I think it was back in the 80s, there was a band called Living Color, and they had a song called Cult of Personality. It's very catchy, and the lyrics, in fact, I told Bradley, I said, I'd love to bring those guys on to ask, how did you come to that song, just because I had an interest in that, the lyrics for that song and what was driving that, and maybe how they saw it from their perspective of things. But it's talking about how men look for other men to lead them. We're supposed to be led by God's Spirit, is what the scriptures say. But men are constantly looking for men to lead them. I mean, you look at the current administration, and you see people in both the first term and this term, they genuinely can say what they want, but when you hear them talk, they will genuinely speak as though Donald Trump is the only one who can save America. In fact, some of them say those exact words. And so they look to that. And then you have the people who look to Obama like that. And you have the people who look to Biden. I don't know that there was that many that looked to Biden like that. But you do have people that look to a single man, especially one that is known, his life is known for, degeneracy. They look to him to somehow be their father figure or whatever. I don't understand it. I really don't. So you've got this of lying in state, and then you've got this story that came up. This is out of the Salt Lake Tribune. By the way, I did run across an interesting video. I wish I would have got the guy's name, because sometimes those videos go by, but it was about an hour long. Anyway, at the beginning of it, he was demonstrating that if you measure the nearest obelisk to the point where Charlie was shot was 66.6 kilometers. He was showing it on, I think it was on a Google map or Google Earth or something like that. Isn't that interesting? 66 point, their symbolism is their downfall, right? That's what I've heard. That's what people have told me. Their symbolism is their downfall. I think we saw some of that
near the casket as well.
But here is a Utah GOP lawmaker wants a memorial to Charlie Kirk built on UVU's campus. Now, I want to just say this. When you go back in scripture, when there was a memorial built, if you want to have that, God said you don't put your tool upon it. And it was basically a pile. It sounds like it's just a pile of rocks. And why was that? Because of the making of images, which is a violation of the second commandment. Don't bow down to them, don't worship them or serve them or any of these kinds of things, right? So when something had significant happened, the people would gather stones together and they would put them together, and that would be a memorial. And every time they came by it, they would remember what the Lord had done, and they were to tell their children about it. So it was dependent upon the people to relay the memory. And we see this in Psalm 78, that the fathers are to share with their children the wonderful works of God. Not only what he did for Old Testament and Old Covenant Israel and the patriarchs and all those guys going back to Adam, but what he has done in our lives, maybe what he's done in our parents' lives, what he's done in our grandparents' lives. We're to relay those things to them. It is to be a communication, a testimony that we bear to them of what the Lord has done. But these become these things where we put up the images of fallen man. And look, I don't care how good a Christian some of them might be, the exaltation there, the level of idolatry that people will go to, that you have to be careful of that. And I understand there's emotional responses, and I think this is why God tells us you need to be in control of your emotions too. It's very easy to not only be led by your emotions, which I think a lot of times these news stories do, but I have found that when people sin, usually it's because they're being led by their emotions instead of keeping their emotions in check with the heart and the mind in check together from the scriptures by the power of the Spirit of God. And by the way, that is a fruit of the Spirit, is self-control. So this story says, State Senator Dan McKay says the monument would focus on open dialogue, but county Dems say it could exacerbate divisions. Okay, well. As the search for the person who shot Charlie Kirk continued Thursday, a Utah state senator is proposing building a memorial to the conservative activist and organizer at the site of the shooting on the Utah Valley University campus. Dan McRae said the idea came to him during a restless night in the aftermath of Kirk's death. I couldn't sleep last night, and I was like, how do we take this and make it productive? Well, you don't do it by creating this. That's not what you do. If you believe that people should openly debate without, you know, punching each other out or shooting each other or stabbing each other, then go and practice that. That's how you make it productive. Don't sit here and take the people's money and spend it to create an idol. Well, it's not an idol, Tim. It's a memorial. It's an idol. You're going to erect that thing. That's what that's going to be. In fact, when you go back in the Old Testament, one of the things you see, you remember God told Moses, remember the serpents were coming out and biting the people and killing the people? And what happened? God said, well, go make this bronze serpent, put it on a pole, hold it up, and anybody that looks to it, what'll happen? They'll be healed, right? What did the people do with what God said to make and hold up? What did they do? They eventually made it an idol. That's eventually what it will be. This is why you don't create these things. And it had to be destroyed. The people had made an idol out of it. They didn't see it as, here's a token of what God has done. They saw it as, this is the Savior here. You know, this is what's gonna rescue me. And I hear people say, oh, no, I'm not doing those things. But we do that because we have a certain veneration. In fact, that was an interesting clip, you know, that I saw of Charlie where he says, we need to venerate Mary more. I was like, what? No, we don't. And that Mary is the solution for young women. No, she's not. Now, she may be an example of humility and willingness to give herself that the Lord would do, because she says she knows the shame that's going to come with what's going to go on. because she's not yet married. She's betrothed. But she said, let it be to me as the Lord's word says. So, you know, she was willing to do that. I think that's a great example. But Mary was still a sinner. If you read her prayer, what is she saying? She says that, you know, that's what I am. I rejoice in God, my Savior. Why do you need a Savior if you're not in need of saving? So there's problems here, but to erect these things. And then we have this one coming too. Well, okay, that's a different deal. I had it up. I don't know what I did with it. We have a lot of talk about putting a Charlie Kirk memorial on every campus in the U.S. Do I agree with being able to dialogue with people without violence? Yes, absolutely I do. I absolutely do. And I think he gave a great example of doing that. I mean, you know, keeping yourself under control, being able to ask questions, give back and forth in the open dialogue, I think that's a great thing. But we have other things going on. And this one, to fortify the alleged representatives against the people. All this has been going on while all the coverage of the stuff of the shooting is going on. White House requests $58 million to increase security for executive judicial branches after Charlie Kirk shooting, sources say. Oh, now, don't worry about the American people. It's just for you guys that think you're the cream of the crop, right? Yeah, let's get $58 million to increase security for us. But for the American people, hang on, just hang on. We got something in the wings for you that's going to attack the ability that you have to purchase, own, bear, keep them, use them, arms of any kind. But they'll enrich themselves $58 million. I mean, they have so much security there now. That's the thing. Trump administration, this is from CBS News. Trump administration is sending a $58 million request to Congress to increase security for the executive and judicial branches in the wake of the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Multiple sources familiar with the matter told CBS News Saturday. A White House official confirmed the extra funds would be directed to the U.S. Marshals Service and would also include enhanced protection for Supreme Court justices. Were they being targeted? What's the need to raise the level here? You know, this is an interesting thing. And I said at the moment it happened, they've been looking for something to get Epstein off the front pages, and ta-da, it's done. Why would they need extra security? Oh, Tim, you don't understand this, that, and the other. No, I understand. I understand that these people, and I'm not just talking about this administration, I understand that those in D.C. have been attacking the very people they're supposed to serve with their pretended legislation. As I've said before, I'm not calling for, listen, when I said people need to get together against the real tyrants, I wasn't calling for ecumenicalism. That doesn't save you. It doesn't justify you or anything like that before the Lord. I would just think it's common sense of anybody that when you see a tyrant, whether they're in the White House or the House of Representatives or the Senate or the judiciary, that the people would want to say, wait a minute, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. No matter what your ethnicity is, you would see that and you would do it. But here they are. Can we have some more funds? Let's have some more funds. Additionally, the Trump administration expressed support for increasing funding to protect. Of course they did. Of course they did, but may defer the legislative branch on that. What? May defer to? Look, The executive branch has no authority to spend money that has not been allocated for what they're spending. And as Lynn and I showed you, what was that, a month or two ago? No, it's probably been longer than that. When they were talking about new budgets and things, they were already saying they had spent hundreds of billions of dollars that Congress had not authorized. And you wonder why you have the debt you have? Now we're going to 58 more million. Oh, I know it's a drop in the bucket, but it's all of these things. $58 million is still a lot of money, by the way. It's still a lot of money. So we've got this, we've got that. We've got people talking about bringing forward the HR 867, the IGO Anti-Boycott Act. This was put forward by a Republican out of New York, Michael Lawler, in January of this year. Let me see if I can just blow this up for you guys on the video platforms. This is the text of the bill. This bill expands an existing anti-boycott law to include certain boycotts imposed by international government organizations. Current law prohibits various actions by U.S. persons, individuals, or entities in relation to boycotts imposed by foreign governments on a country which is friendly to the United States. At least that's what the United States is claiming. And that it is not itself the object of a U.S. boycott. The bill applies those prohibitions to similar boycotts imposed by IGOs. Prohibition actions include refusing to do business with companies organized under laws of the boycotted country. If the refusal is pursuant to an agreement with or request from the country or IGO imposing the boycott, refusing to employ any U.S. person on the basis of race, religion, sex, or national origin, and furnishing information about whether someone is associated with charitable or fraternal organizations that supported the boycotted country. The bill also requires the president to annually submit to Congress and make available to the public a report describing these boycotts and listing the foreign countries and international organizations involved in fostering or imposing them. Now, why is that important? Because this was the videos that we were seeing, I guess, for a year and a half or so, maybe, of someone like Charlie Kirk calling out the nation of Israel, the state of Israel. We've got him turning down Bibi, and yet Bibi popping on. I mean, it's just incredible how he pops in to kind of say, oh, we had nothing to do with it. Oh, it's Charlie. We send him prayers there. By the way, let me interject this, because I hear it all the time. Our thoughts, we send our thoughts and prayers to name your person. Our prayers are to this person. No. What is that? Where is that? Our thoughts and prayers are to. That indicates that you are praying to that person. No, we may pray for the person. Paul would say that, pray for me, the end of Ephesians chapter 6, pray for me. But not, don't. We don't send our prayers to somebody. We send them to the Father, okay? We send them to the Father through the Son. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. What did he say? Did he say, pray to me? No, he says, here's how you pray. Our Father. You call on the Father in Jesus' name. That's what you do. He's the high priest, and we're going into the Father. We're going into God. That's who we're to pray to. Just a little caveat, because I keep hearing that. I've been hearing that for years. And it just finally, I don't know, something got on me yesterday. And I was just like, I need to make mention of that. But the point that I want to make is you see this cult of personality developing. I mean, we've been seeing it for a long time. It was almost shocking. It was almost shocking. It was a little disturbing to just see. Everything is that. And yes, we've been talking about what's going on there too, but not at the sense of this, all the stuff that they're trying to do here. And I had gotten a particular meme from someone they had sent to me,
And I was going to bring it up because what I wanted to do was I wanted to see what are they pushing under the cover of what's went on here. Because you can rest assured it's not just these things that I've done. I think there was like one or two or three more things. So I'll see if I can find those. Maybe we'll do something on Wednesday. I've got an interview we're going to bring to you with John Richardson. But I just kind of wanted to address this today because I see this. And nothing will get people in a more vulnerable position than when they're shocked and when they're sad and when they're emotionally led. And this is what Kate was talking about on Saturday. Nothing makes a people more pliable than when they've just witnessed what we witnessed the other day. Nothing makes them more saying, oh, that could have happened to me. And then you get guys pop up and they'll say certain things. And you know what? I am glad that there are people saying, well, he wouldn't have even wanted this stuff. I think somebody had, this was to the particular bill, H.R. 867. This is what the John Birch Society even said. Charlie Kirk actively opposed this sort of legislation in the days following his assassination. They pushed this bill through the House. Now, they haven't pushed it through the House. I don't know where that came from. But they're right. There would have been an opposition to that. But it's this idea of somehow the people need this thing. They need a figurehead. That's the part that blows my mind. It's not enough that Christ is the captain of our salvation. It's we have to keep doing that. I think it's because men's hearts are like what John Calvin said. They're little idol factories. And we're looking for somebody to pick up like that. And I'm not saying to put him down. I'm just saying this exalting and it's going all around. It's kind of creepy. It's kind of creepy. The Bible tells us in Exodus 20, verse 3 to 6, that we're to have no other gods before the Lord. We're not to create graven images. We're not to of anything or any likeness of anything. We're not to bow down to them. We're not to serve them. We're not to be idolaters. Leviticus 19:4, turn ye not unto idols, not make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. What's the danger of trusting in men? And I understand some people are not looking and trusting in Charlie Kirk. I get that. But it's the level that they're willing to do to put out images, put out memorials, put out statues of them. Psalm 115, verses 4 to 8, tell us that the idols of silver and gold, the work of men's hands, what is it about them? They have mouths, but they speak not. Yeah. And those who make them are like unto them. Isn't that interesting? Romans 1 talks about it as well. People having known God didn't glorify him, and they changed the truth into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See, they wouldn't honor God as God has revealed himself in the scriptures. And it includes not only those idols of animals and on the four-legged kind and those idols of the two-legged kind. It includes turning things that are made by man into worship all over. The prophets of Israel constantly warned the people about idolatry. They did. They constantly warned them about it. It's really interesting. See if I can pull this up because I didn't bring it up here. But in the New Testament, you're warned just as much about idolatry. In fact, The idolatry is one of the things that came out there in Acts chapter 15. That's one of the things they said, tell the Gentiles. You know, no idols. Put away your idols. The Thessalonians, they were praised because they had put away their idols. They were demonstrating their faith in the Lord, the invisible God, who wants to be worshipped in spirit and in truth, not with idols, not with the things of men's hands. And this is what they've done. When you read the epistle of John, first, I think he says it in virtually all of his epistles, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. And a lot of times people don't even realize they're engaged in the idolatry. First John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Don't let them take the place of God in your mind or in your heart. Matthew 4:10, Jesus said to Satan, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But the prophets would call this out. They would call out the people's idolatry. Read any of the major or the minor prophets, and that's what you're seeing. Largely is the people have created idols for themselves. And they've determined whatever is right. So these are the things that I'm seeing that's growing. And it was, like I said, it was shocking in the sense that I've never been so overwhelmed by I don't even think I've been this overwhelmed on a social media thing with Trump stuff or with Obama stuff or with Biden stuff. I don't even think I've been overwhelmed with that like I have with this event. It's really interesting. Isaiah 44 tells us about the craftsman who makes his idols and what he does. Psalm 115 also talks about that. There are warnings over and over and over to the people to keep themselves from idols. And yet, we see this influx. It isn't just Charlie Kirk. This has been building up for a while. I don't know if you guys, I was thinking about this yesterday. How many of you guys, you guys know I'm 56. And one of the things that's interesting to me is when I was a little boy, there, you know, you never saw this stuff. If somebody got in a car accident and on the side of the road, you never saw these memorials pop up every year. Usually they're flowers. Sometimes people would put their picture there and stuff like this. And listen, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to be not feel those people's pain, because the Bible does say that we're to weep with those who weep and we're to rejoice with those who rejoice. But what I'm saying is you don't take that and turn it into these kinds of things. And so when I was a little boy, my dad was the associate pastor in Belmont, North Carolina, at a church called Catawba Heights Baptist Church. And the pastor there, I remember I was very, very young. I don't know, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. I don't remember. And his son was a state trooper. That's what I want to say he was. And they were having a high speed chase one night, and they called him in to set up a roadblock. And he was going to set up the roadblock just over where a hill was coming. And so he got there, he pulled into place, parking his car across the road. And he was so close to the top of the hill, I don't understand what was going on there, but I guess it was to catch the guy by surprise. But he was going to set up that roadblock, get out of the car, and use the car as the roadblock. And he no sooner pulled in than that car topped the hill and just rammed right into him and killed him. He was a young guy. I think he was just around 30 at the time. And I don't remember any of this call for memorials and statues and all of this kind of stuff, even for a guy, quote unquote, killed in the line of duty, who was working for the people, working for the state there. So, but now, anytime you have it, you can ride down the road and there's all these different memorials and they pop up. most of them pop up yearly where people go and they remember. They go and they remember what happened there and the person. And there's nothing wrong with remembering the person. Recalling their life, thanking God for their life. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're seeing that. And then you start seeing it more and more. And then the people attached to the certain personalities. We've seen that. I've seen that all my life. I think we're naturally prone to do that because we're naturally prone for or we're naturally wired to worship. The problem is God tells us to direct our worship and our affections towards Him first and foremost. Our worship is to be specific to Him. Our devotion is to be specifically to Him. And from that worship, we're to love our fellow man. Not worship them, but to love them. And again, some of the talk about veneration of people. And, you know, this comes through the same thing that happens in the Roman Catholic Church. Through sainthood. That you have to do these particular things. And then you become a saint. Nope, that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, right? Those people who really have that saving faith, they are saints. They're not going to be saints. They are saints. Read the introduction to the letters that Paul and Peter and the apostles write. They call them saints. Boy, we've really lost that, haven't we? I just think there's a manipulation, and the people need to be aware and to be careful that you're not led into the idolatry that's sitting there as a trap, because it is a trap, and many will not see that. And it is the shock, the trauma, it makes people very emotional. And I'm not going to say I didn't get a little emotional seeing that. Because I did. It was violent looking. But I have a lot of questions still. And what's bothering me is how fast all of this is moving. It's moving really, really, really fast. I've yet to see a bullet fragments. Yet to hear about an autopsy. I mean, they've already got him in a casket on... Let me change that. We were shown there was a casket with hands. That's what we were shown. And a wife there. And I'm just telling you, these people may be pure as the wind-driven snow. I don't know them. I'm not going to seek to judge that. But I am going to say it looks strange to me, for me, that a widow would allow cameras and video and all this stuff in there while she's spending these final moments before her husband's to be buried. Kind of, that it just, I don't know if anybody does that. Everybody to themselves, but I don't know anybody does that. It's like I wrote about the thing about the post, and you know, maybe I shouldn't have written about this one simply because, I didn't consider scheduling. I didn't consider an assistant or anything like this. But, you know, there was a tweet that went out. 12:45, about 25 minutes after the news broke. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time in trouble. And my point was not to be... to try to tear down something, but I just thought... There's a lot of this that just doesn't smell right. And some people have said, oh, well, you know, you're a conspiracy theorist. It's a mental illness. No, I'm just looking at things and asking some questions. That's all I'm doing. I'm asking questions. And you should be asking questions too. And if the truth is what they're saying the truth is, then nobody should be offended that you want to just know what the truth is. Nobody should really be offended at that. But you don't have an autopsy that I know of. I mean, I went online looking for it. Are they just going to tell you, hey, we know he got shot? Wait a minute. This is a high-profile assassination. You don't have an autopsy? Maybe there is, but I'm not hearing it. I'm not really seeing a lot of images for crime scene. And yet the people are being led to the idolatry, to the cult of personality. And look, now it might just be open debate. But what about if it moves a little further along and some of the things that Charlie was promoting, like alligator Alcatraz and other things like that, that he didn't renounce? What if that starts getting pushed? Oh, Tim, that'll never happen. Okay. I don't think anything's out of the realm of possibility of fallen man when they set themselves that way. In fact, you see that when God kicks Adam and Eve out of the garden. We can't let them come here and put their hand to the tree of life lest they take it. They'll be able to do whatever they want. We have to look at this from what's been going on and what it's leading us towards. Now, I get it. There's people who had a lot of emotional attachment. Look, when you have a lot of people that you've met, a lot of friends that you've had, the impact you've had on their lives and things of that nature, obviously people are going to be broken. I don't want to discount that brokenness. That's just a natural thing that happens to people. You're broken because that person's gone. And that's why Paul would say, you know, we're not those who we have hope. We can be broken. Yes, we can weep. But it's not this hopeless, incessant weeping that some have. And of course, I know with the Charlie Kirk crowd that for many of them, you know, they believe that, you know, there's hope that they'll see him one day. That's the way they look at that. Now, I can judge a man's words. I can judge a man's actions and kind of see them and make determinations for myself about that. But I have no authority over that man. I'm not the final judge. Jesus is. All judgment's given to the Son. But you can see certain things, and I was glad to see there was certain things that was changing in his thinking. That's great. But you know the issue that comes down is, what is this gonna drive people to do? What's it gonna drive them to do? And in the age of the artificial intelligence stuff, this is only gonna get worse. The images, the videos, I mean, it's almost like, how do you keep from taking in any of that stuff? Being taken in by it, I should say. I mean, we've got people creating videos now with Charlie Kirk posthumously, right? Talking after his death. Some people don't know the difference. Some of the stuff is so good, you sit here and go, it's not like where they try to make it look like him. It looks like him in every aspect. And then this is the bigger danger that I saw coming with the AI anyway. So let's make a comparison here. And because I know some people are probably going, oh, Tim, you're just a crackpot. You're coming unhinged. I'm just talking. I'm not unhinged. I'm asking questions. Let's look to how did the scripture, you know, if we give a comparison about something, what do we see and what do we see going on here? What is that cult of personality, this means of idolatry in many cases? In many cases, maybe not all, but in many cases, this is where they elevate the person's image beyond his ideas and actions. We have biblical warnings against that. In some cases, they'll attribute divine power to the people. Now, I don't know that anybody's doing that with Charlie Kirk. Maybe some are, but I haven't seen any of that for him. There is a lot of tributes, though, that are moving towards that direction with Charlie Kirk. And I think we all see it. Okay? And that's not on Charlie Kirk. That's on the people for doing it. That's on the people for doing it. There's a danger of worshiping the messenger instead of God's message. That happens a lot. That happens a lot in Christian circles. Oh my goodness. You guys ever run into the rock star pastors, preachers? You ever run into those guys? Or the people who have idolized them, not learned from them. They've idolized them. They can do no wrong. They can say no wrong. Listen, if you got somebody like that, where you have never seen a disagreement or any kind of thing like that, you might want to examine whether or not you've made them an idol. I know I look at that. I look at that big time for myself. The Bible admonishes us that God alone is the one to be worshipped. Him alone. Leaders are fallible. Representatives are fallible. Fathers are fallible. Husbands are fallible. Your elders are fallible. Your deacons, they're all fallible. They're not the standard. This is why we kind of talk about Jesus is the standard. It's to call men up to the standard. And when they see they're not meeting it, they cry out to God for mercy. That's the whole point of the gospel, is to drive them to Christ, right? That's the point. A lot of times this turns into cult because all of a sudden things are interjected that the guy didn't do or didn't say or whatever the case may be. Then you get false stories, false prophecies, myths created. And that becomes quote unquote legend. Not necessarily real history, but it's legend. Then you get grief, symbolism, the control of the narrative. But when you go to the scripture, what do you see? You see people lamenting. You see the prophets speaking to what the people have done in their national loss. Or their sins, at what it's brought up, what it's bringing about on them, and what it's going to bring about on them if they don't repent. They forget. They're forgetful. The Bible tells us that God cannot bless a people who are forgetful if they don't remember what He's done. This has become a rallying point for a lot of people on that. And I think we do see this rise of cult of personality. We've been seeing it come up over the years, but now that the AI is in place, now that we're seeing it across social media, just be careful that you don't get caught up in that. Whatever view you're holding on whatever happened here, whether it was faked, whether it was real, whether it's Israel, whether it's this kid, whatever your belief is, don't get caught up in the idolatry. Don't do that. That's the danger here. And my guess is that there will be more of it. And I don't mean necessarily Charlie Kirk. I mean others that will benefit from the people going after it this way. As Jesus said, worship God. Worship God. There is none good but Him, right? The message is the same one that I gave yesterday. For the people who would hear this, and you're probably sitting at your radio or you're watching us online, and you're going, "Well, I'm not an idolater." Okay, then I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. If you're not an idolater, I'm not talking to you.
But there are many who have. And if you have, the message is, repent before God. I would think that's Charlie's message. I would think that would be his message, but I don't know. I didn't follow a lot of Charlie Kirk. But that's the Bible's message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Bradley, be with you at 3. See you at 6. Adios.